evening, everyone, and welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer the questions of why. This show is born out of a combination of the Streisand effect and spite when somebody on Facebook said, stop posting your atheistic, logical, debunking stuff when we're posting stuff to have fun here on Facebook. It doesn't matter if it's false. And that was just because I had nothing better to do. So I decided, you know what? You want to go ahead and you want to talk bad about me? Here's my big opportunity. It is Sunday, 27 April. This is episode Ziv. Some of you are following, actually know what I'm talking about. Last week was 13, so figure it out from there. This week we're going to be talking about oral pleasure, which in this case basically means we're going to be talking about all of the different podcasts and vlogcasts that we collectively listen to and participate in one way or another. And no, I'm not trolling for compliments for myself, but I'll take them. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. I was born to a Roman Catholic Italian household in Brooklyn, raised on Long Island. I now live outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. Thank you very kindly. Joining me this evening on a shorter crew at the moment, from up north of the border, that is Dallin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I go by the name Dallin here online. I was born and raised in a Lutheran household, but thankfully my parents were wise enough to tell me to always keep an open mind, to never let my curiosity diminish, always ask questions, and always learn. And that is what has landed me here today. As far as religion goes, I never really did swallow the whole story behind it, and was always encouraged not to. Was always encouraged to, like I said, keep an open mind, find out differing opinions, and from there forge my own path. And that path has led me, well, in a roundabout way, right to here.
And also on the south side of the border, Unrenown Tech.
Hey, folks. I go by UT online. Well, Unrenown Tech, for those of you who haven't figured it out. I live in southern Maryland. And I was raised in a mixed household. My father's side of the family, Catholic. My mother's side, Jewish. And there was actually a point where I was a born-again Christian. So it got kind of interesting in, under the roof for a little while in my life. And then I came into the age of reason shortly after high school. And now I'm smarter for it. I blame my parents and the Bible. My parents, because they told me that I should always learn something new every single day, because if I'm not learning, I'm dying, and or I'm actually already dead. And the Bible for, well, being the Bible, you know, the best way to make an atheist, read the Bible, or any other religious text for that matter. And I just want to say that today I have learned that apparently I have the beard that people expect no illusions to have.
For those of you that are unaware, yes, we're going to talk about Noah. We're going to talk about the Bible and various incarnations of it online, amongst other things. So if you are looking to join us this evening, first off, of course, thank you very kindly. You could be, of course, anywhere doing anything. You decided to be masochistic and join us. We appreciate it.
And that goes to Noah, too. If you want to join us, I will actually shave my beard off and send it to you so you can just Velcro it on whenever you need it.
No, this is not a good thing for anybody. No.
Yet one more. Okay, it's visuals like that that just make me realize I will never quit drinking as long as I live.
You know, so funny enough, speaking about that, I'll get to that. I'll get to that in a second. If you are joining us over on Google Hangouts, of course, thank you very much, or on YouTube, I'm keeping tabs on the G Plus account, the Hangout account, my Gmail account. So if you're having a problem trying to get in for whatever reason, please send me a message at shujintribble@gmail.com. I'll make sure that you get a proper invite so that you can join us. You can also take advantage of the question and answer system that is available there, and we will see if we can get some suggestions from folks through that as far as to what podcasts or vlogcasts you pay attention to, and kind of talk through a bunch of these. There is, believe it or not, going to be a why question in and amongst all of this. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm picking on them. I want to thank Keith Enright from the Scathing Atheist for replying to my tweets earlier. About 12, 13 hours ago, I did send him a message and ask, I know it's kind of not exactly last minute, but would you care to be on the show tonight since we're talking about podcasts? Unfortunately, it would appear that from what he was saying, Heath's computer is currently down looking for a new carburetor. Even though I live very close to Fisher-Price, he wouldn't let me get him one. So our hearts and eventually wallets go out to him so that he can get himself a new Erector set and build a new one. So, you know, take care of yourself, man. Good luck with it.
Well, maybe this time he'll get one with a flux capacitor in it.
I don't see that as really happening because you try to take one of those inside of to use the Wi-Fi at a McDonald's or Tim Hortons. It's just all kinds of bad. By the way, Dallin, I did get an extra large cafe mocha from Tim Hortons, and I got double roll up the rim to win. You know what I won?
What'd you get?
Play Again.
Yep. I've been playing that now for, I can't even think about how long I have been, and I can actually sum up all I've won on one hand, and it's all a combination of donuts and or coffees.
Yep. And
so wait a minute, if you get a coffee from Tim Hortons, and the coupon says you want a coffee, and then you go and get another coffee, you have an infinite cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible to do that, yes. Although it ends when you finally win the car, so that you can go through the drive-thru and pay for the coffee your own damn self.
Yes.
Which kind of sucks, but, you know, that's okay.
Unless the coffee has one of those coupons, in which case you get another free infinite cup of coffee.
Because what you could do is you win the car, you go to the drive-thru, you get your next cup, you roll that up, you could get another cup.
Or another car. Nothing says you can't.
No, theoretically, you are right. You could end up with two cars, although that person would probably not be well-liked in this country.
That person would be a dick, all right? That's what it comes down to.
Well, if they got a Prius, they could just throw it in the trunk of the first car.
Well, sadly, it's they only have like one kind of car, and I think this year it was I can't remember if it was a Camry or a Corolla.
Wait a minute, so all of Canada only has one car? Wow.
Well, it's all got to fit into the national igloo. We'll talk about that another time. Gotcha. Anyway, I have one of my other I guess technically this qualifies as a chalice. This is my drink of choice. This is my wine, which normally I do not do this, but you know what?
This is my mysterious gray thermos, which has a colorless liquid in it. And only I know what I'm drinking.
This is my coffee cup.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
No, this one just happens to be full. So I could be shaking by the end of the night. This is not a matter of perspective. I'm not pulling a Hitchcock thing here. This is just a big damn cup of coffee, just so you know.
Fair enough. What is that, half liter?
750, actually.
Oh, you sure? You can turn it over and you can see on the bottom.
Nice try.
Damn it. I was hoping I was going to work.
See, now I can actually do that with my thermos, and I've got 22 ounces of vodka.
See, now we know. All right.
Oh, boy, are we in for some fun tonight.
So, for those of you that are wondering, this is my podcatcher of choice. This is my cell phone, which I've had for quite a number of years at this point. I had gotten, when I had finally decided to get into the 21st century technology, I went with Samsung because I was with Verizon. Where I live, Verizon is like the only guys that have reliable coverage at my house because I am way the freak out in boonies. And I had gotten at the time with the Fascinate, which at the time was kind of not the bottom tier, but it was kind of midline. I got it on a you know, a decent price.
I think I recommended that to you, didn't I? Galaxy S line.
Yes, that's very, very much so. Yes, as a matter of fact, I still have the email that you had sent me about all the apps that you had recommended at the time.
Yeah.
I still have a couple of them on here, too.
Cool.
Now, the Samsung line use Android for their operating system, which is a Linux variant, which works fairly well. This one, as a matter of fact, I need to see about refreshing and putting in one of the newer user-made operating systems to, you know, extend its life, make everything all nice, because it's chugging a little bit on stuff. And I've had it for so long that if anything were to happen to it, the chance of my being able to get a replacement is a little bit more difficult because it's just not around nearly as much.
You may want to wait and pick up. There's a brand new phone on the market called the OnePlus One. So that's one is the word for O-N-E-P-L-U-S, OnePlus. It's okay. going to be a $300 phone, and it's going to be using CyanogenMod as the base Android installation.
Nice.
And it's going to compete with the HTC One M8.
Interesting.
They just put an article on Tom's Hardware.
Very cool. There's also one that Ubuntu has been looking to get out there with their operating system specifically.
Really?
So we're waiting to see what happens with that. The first push for it didn't exactly happen. There's pieces with that, but we'll get around with that. Anyway, the program that I work with on my phone is something called PodKicker. Now, it's a freebie. You can get through Android. I do not know if there is something similar on the iDevices or BlackBerry or even for desktop computers of all stripes, because
As far as the PodKicker goes for the iPhone, they have a compact version of iTunes.
Okay.
Which is like, that's the Apple everything app. So as far as I know, that is what you use to grab podcasts and stuff off of on an Apple network anyway.
Okay. In my particular case, like I said, this one is a freebie. It's lacking a couple of features. Doesn't change anything as far as to its ability. But the idea is that you have all the channels that you can go through, and it'll help you search for them. It'll then load up as it refreshes what's the new ones, and you can specifically say, okay, either stream or download a particular ones. Download it right into the system and play it back through whatever Bluetooth device or straight through your headset. And instead of playing on the radio in my car, I am constantly going through. And while I'm working, you know, slicing cakes or packaging stuff for the freezer, this is the guy that is constantly in my ear playing stuff to me. And I got a lot of stuff over on here.
Android is on that phone? You can go into your settings and scroll all the way down to about phone. And the reason why I'm asking is because when they updated, when Google updated Android from 4.3 to 4.4, they changed a permission system, thereby royally breaking many apps, preventing them from going in and modifying files that they've already added themselves, unless it was in a particular area of the phone. So there are certain ones still catching up to that.
Yeah.
Because I'm running the 4.3 phone.
Okay, firmware version right now is 2.3.5.
I don't think you're going to have any problems.
Yeah.
Well, the
reason why I was asking, because if you were running a 4.4 phone, then you would probably already know whether or not you were having problems with the stuff staying on the SD card.
Yep, good point. Come back to that in a second. Before I get to my list of stuff, let's see what the rest of you guys have got. Since you were last up, Tech, how about for you? Do you listen to, and what's your weapon of choice?
Yeah, I listen to several podcasts. We'll get into the list later and why. And I'm pretty sure that most of mine are going to be, since I have a limited amount that I listen to, are going to be what you already guys already recommend. The utility that I use, ironically, I didn't realize I could use it for podcasts. It's called RSS Daemon. Yeah, like as in hell. And I originally picked it up because I like to read the not always right and not always working lines and whatnot, and I found out they had RSS feeds, and I found out that RSS could also it could also pick up podcasts that were on RSS feeds and then give you the option to automatically download the podcast, automatically download the article associated with that podcast, or to just download the header and let you choose to do it manually, which is good because some of these podcasts are not small. And or in some cases, like I put in the RSS feed for Thinking Atheist, and it returned almost 200 headers. And if I had put that in for podcast, I think I would have chewed up my internal memory to nothing. But it's really cool. It allows you to star stuff. It actually allows you to set a feature so that if you star something and you want to delete everything that's red, except for those star stuff, you can safely click delete all red, and anything with a star will be left alone. So on occasion, I'm catching up on the Thinking Atheist right now. There's a few that I wanted to save, so I just start them, and I don't have to worry about that. I clear up the room from the other ones to make room for the next ones I want to listen to, and it's good. And I can even tell them to, when I download articles and when I download podcasts, to download it to my SD card. I do not know if they have already corrected for the 4.4 Android problem that Google created or not. So if there's somebody out there that also uses RSS Daemon and they've switched to 4.4 and it doesn't save or it does save to SD card, let us know and we'll know whether or not it's caught up.
Okay. Before I get over to you, Dallin, just for a second, I just want to say a very large thank you to Witchy Bunny, who is actually paying attention onto the stream. She's not at her home at the moment, which is why she's not joining us. And, of course, thank you, hun, for chiming in. Joey, who is also listening in and sending a couple of messages on the Q&A, thank you. And an especially large thank you to Mr. Farwarden. I'm maybe accenting it incorrectly. Mr. Jake... I shouldn't call him Mr.
Farwarden?
Well, no, I'm not going to do that because, I mean, he's a nice guy. He's agreed to...
I never know on Google whether somebody's name is real or not, because if you look up my guy's name or my account's last name, well, oh, crap, we're recording this. No, Google, it's really, it's legitimate. It's perfectly legitimate. It's a true name. I kind of sort of promise. Pinky swear. How about that?
We don't break pinky swears. Anyway, Jake, thank you very kindly for joining us tonight and listening in. And to answer your question, why are we talking about non-Apple? Simple. Because contrary to popular belief, there are still Amigas out there even. So don't even start with me, man. I am an ex-Amiga file. We'll talk about that afterwards.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Go ahead.
Dell, what do you got for what's your weapon of choice?
Nowadays, my weapon of choice, I run a Samsung Galaxy S3. Is my phone of choice on there. I upgraded. I did you one better, Shujin. I have PodKicker Pro.
Ah.
Because I had a couple of bucks in my Google credit account to actually pick it up. So very much the same architecture. I do like how they break things out a little bit more. The interface is actually a little bit different than what you've got. Still the channels and everything, just a little bit tighter, a little bit better put together. And because, well, up until today, I was a slave to transit and therefore had to endure a 1 hour and plus commute back and forth from work. That gives me lots of time to download and listen to podcasts. That could change a little bit today with my status going from transit user to driver. Yes, I'm celebrating today, ladies and gentlemen. I just got myself a brand new car today, so yay. And we'll see how I'm able to plug this thing in and keep listening to stuff.
I have a quick question about PodKicker, since you guys use it so much.
Yeah.
I know in RSS Daemon, when I use it and I tell it to download podcasts, especially if I do like a, you know, download a grouping of them,
yeah,
I can tell it to organize... in my playlist, those podcasts, in order that I download them, or by the date in which they were made available. Can you do that in PodKicker?
To be honest, I'm not sure. One feature I do like is you can set podcasts this year, kind of like you do with iTunes, that the second new content is available, it will automatically download it. So like I have a bunch of podcasts that I know come out weekly. I've had them tagged that way. So the second PodKicker starts up, it runs its scan and goes, oh, we've got, 10 of your podcasts have new content. Fump. And it brings it down.
So you're saying that it actually pushes the the download notification availability rather than pinging every 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 1 hour. Like RSS Daemon, you actually set an interval. I've set mine to ping for updates for 1 hour intervals because really I'm not going to read that, you know, the podcast doesn't update that quickly.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there is a polling rate set up for this. All I know is that when it detects new content, so like there is a refresh button that allows you to scan, but the second it finds something new, whether it be through refresh or through some interval, it will automatically start the download.
Right.
Yeah. Now with the freebie version, with the baseline is for it to go ahead and search to find out is there new content, and in the new section, it'll highlight it and let you know.
Yeah.
And again, with the freebie version, you long press on it and select, do you want to stream it live? Do you want to download it? If you're, by the way, for those of you that are planning on starting up listening to podcasts like crazy for yourself anyway afterwards, don't download through your mobile network. Please don't. Because,
well, it depends.
Well, hold on. There are some people who are lucky enough to have an unlimited data. But truly, if you have access to a Wi-Fi at home, just push it at home. And you know, you save the clogging for everybody else, because there's a lot of data floating around as it is anyway. Just do it at home, or even better, if you're able to do it at night automated, hey, cool, even better. You can do it at home that way. For me, though, like I said, with the freebie, long press, starts to download. The download page shows each item as it's downloading, and it's organized in the order that you tell it, okay, start downloading, start downloading. Once they're all downloaded, you then have to click on each one of them, which then puts it into your playlist. And the order in which you clicked on them is the order that they end up into the playlist. And you know, you can scroll around and tell whichever one to start up at whatever time. So yes, that way.
I just took a look through some of the settings tech as for things like polling rates and stuff. It's all things you can actually set.
Okay, cool.
Within the podcatcher itself. A lot of it I actually haven't touched. Which probably explains why my mobile bill is low as it is. But you can actually tell it. You can also tell Podkicker Pro that if you're not in a Wi-Fi zone, do not download.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Now cool. I also was lucky. I got myself a significantly sized data plan recently. That's now going to be grandfathered in until I tell it not to be. So, yeah. As far as bringing content down, it doesn't hurt as much as it normally would. But yeah, I still defer to your advice, Shuj, about do it at home if you've got a home Wi-Fi or anywhere you've got a hotspot or something.
Yeah, it's a really good idea that way.
And that's the same thing with RSS Daemon. You can set Wi-Fi only for article, Wi-Fi only for images, Wi-Fi only for podcast, who the article download provider is, and then it has even a separate settings menu for podcast options, like to react to headset buttons if you have one of the headset with the multiple button systems, to pause the media if you pull the headset out of its connection, because if you don't have that check marked and you pull it out, it'll start broadcasting through your external speaker. So unless you want people to realize that you're actually listening to atheistic media, which I don't know, in the middle of an evangelical church, that might actually be a good idea. If you have the power plugged in and then you remove it, it can actually set it to a pause, and then playlist selection or order display, yeah, it goes nuts.
We'll tell you about that all in a second. So in a nutshell, since we don't have anybody who knows anything about the Palm OS systems and the BlackBerry systems and Symbians and Symbians and all the other ones. Symbians, a whole other thing.
Jake, well, I'm wondering, there's a guy on the internet who used Raspberry Pi to create a BASIC, as in BASIC, the programming language, portable computer. I wonder if we could make a podcast player out of BASIC.
I don't see any reason why not. It's just a matter of just linking the libraries, of course. But
yeah,
a whole other piece for afterwards. A couple of things before we actually go into this, because that's in a nutshell. Yeah, you can pretty well use whatever you want as far as to downloading stuff. I do not suggest, however, cassette tapes. Although that would be really cool and retro. A couple things for Jake. Yes, Jake. You're welcome. It's nice to know that I can actually pronounce the name Jake. I appreciate that. The only reason I can is because I remember Body By, and some people are old enough to remember what that is. And yes, you're right. It's actually, you've got it incorrect. It's not Mr. Dr. Jake Farwarden. It's Mr. Professor Dr. Jake Farwarden Esquire III. So I looked it up. Congratulations on the upgrade for you. The problem that you talk the problem that you're hearing with my audio is something I haven't been able to lock down yet. Because I'm working through Linux, I have a very odd audio driver system. It gets extremely complicated, which is really pissing me off. When I am doing my online DJing, I'm using a different supervisory system, which does not have audio problems. My audio is clean. When I'm not using it, when I'm just using the system, I have this crackle that you're hearing, and unfortunately, I haven't been able to lock down yet why it's doing that. I'm still trying to investigate it. It could be this new computer, and I'm really not at all sure. The system dual boots with Ubuntu Linux and Windows 8 because it came installed with Windows 8. Don't blame me. I had nothing to do with it. And under Windows, it's fine. Under the DJing software with the extra audio connection system, it's fine. With this, seriously, I really don't know. And believe me, it pisses me off more than anybody.
Just do what everybody else does. Either blame Obama or Ken Ham. Your choice.
Oh, God. Okay.
So you're going to blame Ken Ham, obviously.
Actually, no. I'm going to blame Ray Comfort. This is going to take us to the first podcast that we're going to talk about. And is this a blatant hit for Jake again? Yes, in a way it kind of is, because this is something that happened. If you've been following me on Twitter, and it's at Shujin Tribble, I had listened to Jake and the Imaginary Friends show, .podcomcast. Yes, I intentionally screwed it up. Leave me alone. The Imaginary Friends show podcast is what Jake Farwarden, Mr. Professor Dr. Jake Farwarden Esquire III, has been doing for quite a while now. He's up into the 180 episodes, if I remember right, very close to it at least. And congratulations for the longevity, man. I'm very, very pleased for you. Thank you for all the laughs.
Where do I find this podcast?
If you go searching for The Imaginary Friends Show, you should be able to find it. It's out of Australia. Not Sydney. I forget. Jake, I'm sorry. I've forgotten what city it was that you're actually out of. I know it's not Sydney. I know you're like in the middle of the Eastern Seaboard. Forgive me. I just forgotten off the top of my head. Anyway, the point of it is...
The Imaginary Friends Show, is that where Ken Ham escaped from?
There's a whole big thing with that. Jake had an interview, a discussion with Ray Comfort. And it took me the better part of 2 days to get through it, off and on listening to it, because I listen while I'm at work, which is almost, you know, almost 5 hours straight, plus driving back and forth to work, so, you know, another extra hour in there. And I've truly come to the conclusion that Ray Comfort is simply a troll, because it is impossible to me to believe that he does not know the difference between the word fetus and baby. Absolutely. It was that, Jake, in all seriousness, that was the moment where I was yelling in my car. I was positively yelling because you were a wonderful interviewer with him, because you kept your calm, you kept your cool, you kept laughing about it, you were nice and light with it, and yet you were able to let this guy just go ahead and let it all hang out and show himself for what he really is. Really, really a troll. And for those of you that are unaware of who Ray Comfort is, you know who he is. He's referred to on many an occasion as I don't want to use it, but I have to. The Banana Man. He's the one that's been going around with Kirk Cameron. And as we found out from Star Wars, there is always the master and the student, and that's the way that the Sith works.
My understanding was the guy who did that whole banana is the atheist nightmare crap was backpedaling a year after he did that, saying, oh, it was all a joke, and everybody's trying to take it seriously and taking it out of context. I was like, wait a minute, I'm sorry, but I saw the video. There is no way, none whatsoever to take that out of the context in which it was presented. A kindergartner couldn't take that thing out of context. It was that simplified. And by the way, they had the banana upside down. You open from the bottom.
Yeah, it's the way that works. And Jake has gone ahead and corrected me. Thank you very kindly. And believe it or not, I will pronounce it correctly because I've been listening. It's Brisbane. Not Brisbane, Brisbane. Kind of like the same
thing you'd say. Very good.
Hawaii.
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
People mispronounce it Hawaii, and it's Hawaii.
Yes. And Jake is also saying episode 179 is coming out. Congratulations. Big, big numbers. Congratulations. Seriously. Yeah. Not for the particular number, but for the longevity. Because, you know, we know full well the numbers, you know, whatever.
And actually, Jake, I just subscribed.
There you go. So you got another one there.
Look at that. You see, you put your name out there, and suddenly you're going to get another follower.
Excellent.
Is there an RSS feed? I'm looking for the RSS thingy.
I do not know. I'm sure we can find out for you in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the Imaginary Friends Show. There you go. The Imaginary Friends Show .com podcast. And I've pronounced it correctly because that's the way that he does. In all seriousness, it's a good show. Jake is an excellent host, and I'm not saying this to butter him up or anything. Seriously. Jake has a very great way of cutting through a lot of crap and keeping it light, keeping it smart, and making sure that the pieces that need to be hit are hit, and does not let stuff get past him when he's interviewing and talking to people. And Jake, for that, I've actually learned a lot from you and a couple of others that I'm going to end up talking about in a little bit. So thank you for teaching a lot of us who are aspiring to try to continue doing this because it's fun. There is, you know what, Dallin, I'm gonna let you pick up the next one because you actually got a photo with that guy. You know who I'm talking about.
Photo with that guy. Oh, jeez.
You exchanged glasses with him.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I can honestly take full responsibility for this one, especially for making you a listener, Shujin, because I got a journal post on another site that you and I frequent, and somebody asked me, they wanted a lighthearted but skeptical podcast, and I just happened to be listening to one better known as the Geologic Podcast, hosted by George Schraub. Now, people in the skeptical community will definitely know George. He has been a huge influence in the skeptical critical thinking / atheist community. His shows, I think he's in the 300s now, or very close to it.
Something like that.
He's extremely close. I can honestly say that I've been a fan of his show since episode 4. And when I told him that to his face, he just kind of went, "You got to slow down." he figured I was like turning into a total fanboy. But a great show. That he started off originally, he was just doing some just derping around. He had a few skits, a few things, but as time went on, he did eventually start to really get onto a skeptical / atheistic bend on his show, and it's proliferated through many. That's about all it is now. one of his famous skits on the show is the religious moron of the week. Yeah, it's, you can always tell when that show has aired, because I'll be sitting on the bus with my headphones in, trying as hard as I can not to laugh, because some of the things that he gets into and some of the content is just rib-splittingly funny.
It's glorious.
Yeah. And like Shujin said, I had a chance. I got my photo taken with him. He was up here in Calgary at the invitation of the Center for Inquiry up here. And he did a concert. I finally had the chance to meet him. I mean, I've been a fan of this guy for years. I bought some of his stuff. He let me take a picture with him. And what was really cool, I don't mean to completely dominate this, but I think this has to be said. He has one song that he does called the Twitter song. Now, if you follow this guy on Twitter, at George Harab, this guy is the master of the play on words. Things like Iron Man, if he was more comfortable with himself, could be known as the female, as in Fe, the chemical name for iron, etc., etc. And what he had done is he had put together a bunch of his tweets and had put it to music, which pretty much means he sits back there with an acoustic guitar and reads off his tweets. Well, he decided he was going to do the Twitter song at the show, but it was a little bit too much for him to work the iPad, play the guitar, and read off the tweets. So he got a volunteer from the audience. The volunteer that showed up was none other than Nathan Phelps. Yeah, so again, another sort of a brush with fame. I had just actually heard Seth Andrews' interview with Nathan about how he got out of the Westboro Baptist Church. Actually, I think it was the first interview. I had no idea the guy was living in Alberta, nor did I have any idea that since meeting him at the George Harab thing, I've actually been having a few beers with him once every other month at a local skeptics meetup. So pretty cool.
Excellent.
But yeah. geologicpodcast.com. Check it out. Get some of the back episodes as well. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to end up talking through. I will make sure that links for all of the stuff is available in the description for this video. And by the way, Jake, thank you very much for the RSS feed. I'll make sure that that's linked in also. Tech, your turn. What do you enjoy listening to when you're, you know, threatening a computer with a cold salt water bath because it doesn't want to behave?
I've been listening to a lot of the Thinking Atheist lately. I know I started off with Scathing Atheist, but really, I'll listen to that for not just good advice and venting and laughter and all that, but with the Thinking Atheist with Seth Andrews, it's instructional. It's emotional. It's you can feel the connection with other people that have, whether they've come from different backgrounds or similar backgrounds, whether they started with faith and ended with atheism or agnosticism, or they started with not having faith in anything at all to begin with, just complete skepticism all their lives and been battered for it. People who have, he takes calls from people all over the world. He set up Skype, he set up a chat room, he set all this stuff up. And, people, it's not just Christians, ex-Christians that call in, or ex-Catholics, or ex-Jews. He's gotten ex-Muslims and all over. It's just, you hear their stories, and it's amazing. I'm only up to, I started from the very beginning of his podcast. So I downloaded his oldest ones and started from there. I am only currently in the middle of the year of 2012. That's how much I still have left to go.
A lot.
Yeah. And, I hear people tell their stories, and I realize, okay, I haven't had it hard like they have, but I may end up encountering a lot of problems later on since I switched later on, so much later on in life. My mom is Jewish, for example, and while she's not technically a good practicing one, she doesn't like the idea that I don't believe in a God. She understands contradictions in the Bible and all that fun stuff, but she had an experience in her life that convinced her there is a God. And I cannot tell her that that experience was not true because of the simple reason being that, like we discussed in What is Reality, in one of our last, a couple video casts ago, is that I firmly feel that the nature of reality is exactly what our brains tell us. So no matter what she experienced, it's 100% true to her, 100% real to her. And yeah, there's nothing I can say or do that would change that, nor would I, in that event, the one that she has revealed to me that I am not going to reveal on the air here because I don't have that kind of permission, and I don't feel comfortable doing it without her permission. Privacy and all that, people.
Oh yeah.
Some people forget that kind of thing, but I actually respect that because at the same time, while she did have that experience and it does encourage her to believe in a God and an afterlife, she doesn't shove that down my throat, and she doesn't shove it down other people's throats. She is the kind of person that most religious people should be like in as such that whatever they believe, they keep in their head under their roof. They don't go around preaching it to everybody else, and they don't go around trying to force it through politics.
Yeah. Now, see, the thing about this, and forgive me for jumping in here, I was fortunate enough to get the chance to talk with Seth and interview him 2 years ago, I believe it was. I don't remember if I threw that up on YouTube.
Was that at the convention?
No, as a matter of fact, it was during one of my Wednesday night shows. And the idea was to talk with him about Christmas, because as, you know, non-theistic people, non-religious people, you know, what do you do with it? How you deal with it?
Oh, yeah, and he did a whole podcast on Christmas. It was great.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. And Seth, and Jake is right. Jake is putting it over in the Q&A. The Thinking Atheist is so great, Tech. Totally agree. Such a wonderfully professional and clean show. And it's very true. Seth Andrews was a broadcaster, an on-air broadcaster for Christian radio for a number of years. And it's translated into a wonderful sound, great cadence, wonderful allocution. For those of you that don't know what the term means, you really should look it up. And he has a very disarming way about him. He listens, and in some cases, that is one of the best things that you could ever possibly hope for. For somebody who listens while they're in the middle of being in the situation of needing to converse, to talk, to disseminate information, and they're listening and making sure that they understand what it is that you're talking about, not putting words in your mouth, and that's wonderful. Seth, absolutely A-plus guy. Absolutely A-plus.
Well, and the beauty of all his mannerisms, I don't think he realizes it, but he says that he talks with an accent in some of the older 2011, 2012 podcasts. But what he doesn't realize is that what happens to some people naturally is when you get used to talking, when you get used to prolonged elocution, learning big words like elocution and things like that, you can actually destroy your accent. Mm-hmm. So whether he believes it or not, he's actually destroyed quite a bit of his accent, and he's more he could fit in more locations than not.
Yeah.
And yeah. So a broader audience is more than likely to listen to him, understand the words that he's saying, and understand the emotions coming through his words, rather than being them being smothered by a very distinct, very heavy accent. And the other thing that I really like is his mentality that he brings across in every show, is that we can all live together. We can all respect each other's viewpoints as long as we remember to treat each other like human beings. You know, just because your family is all Catholic and you're the only atheist doesn't mean that when they wish you a Merry Christmas that you can't wish it back to them. Because, you know, I like the idea of the holiday season. I like the idea of getting people to, and this is me speaking right now, I like the idea of the holidays. I like the idea of people getting together, you know, family getting together and enjoying your family. What I don't like is I don't like the religious aspects of them, and I don't like the commercialization of them. Those two things I think need to go bye-bye. And I don't think it's a bad idea to have national time frames, national periods of time, where people are encouraged to spend more time with their family. Call it whatever you want. I don't give a rat's butt. You can use what's already in effect here in the States, which is most commonly Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving are the big three. New Year's is mostly people getting drunk with family and friends, but that could be a good thing.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it depends on your alcohol tolerance and, you know, whether or not you get poisoned at the end of every year with alcohol. Limits, people. Come on. Have some self-respect.
Now, since you went ahead and you talked about bringing people together, bringing families together, having self-respect, and going from the thinking atheist, we have to go ahead and put up the mirror to the whole thing and jump straight on over to the scathing atheist.
Yes.
It has to be said.
And I listened to that one, too.
Yes, as a matter of fact, a number of us do. And for those of you that are unaware of the scathing atheist, as much as Seth is a wonderful, wonderful, warm human being, inviting and comforting, Noah, Heath, and Lucinda are...
And Heath.
Well, yes, and Heath are...
You gotta include...
Well, yes, I got him in there. Poor Heath and his little...
And the dead babies.
And the dead babies. We'll come back to that. I won't say the polar opposite, because I don't think any one of them could really live at the poles, because they're just too much mama's boys. They want to be so much in the warm. But this, seriously, the scathing atheist, it's not... To me, and I said this when we had them on the show with us a couple of weeks back, which, by the way, they have since been doing some videos and being on video hangouts and whatnot, and all I can say is I'm proud to say we had them first.
Yes, so, thank you. It's your fault they're getting that exposure.
Yep. Yes, it is.
And if I could just cut in here for one moment of absolute shameless plugging, Noah and Heath, I hope you're watching this. And I hope you can see this.
It is. You got it.
Yes, I bought it. It's been on my phone. Actually, it's on just about everything I have that has a Kindle app. And again, like the Geologic podcast I mentioned earlier, it's tough for me to not laugh my head off as I'm going through this, because I can actually hear him doing each of the diatribes.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah.
I'd like to get in there real quick about the Scathing Atheist. I'm actually a Patreon donator to the Scathing Atheist. So, yes, people, he is on Patreon / the Scathing Atheist. And I'm still waiting for my Diatribes book. But the only reason I'm waiting is because I read the actual fields where it says after a certain amount of automated donations have gone through, then you get it. And it's like, okay, you know what? I have no problems with that. But please don't spoil the ending, Dallin. Please don't spoil the ending.
I won't. I promise that no spoilers.
Right. Because somebody already ruined the Bible for me. They told me Jesus dies in the end.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, he doesn't. That's the... Oh, sorry.
That's the sequel. No, as far as me getting the Dead Tree version of this, I won't be until I can go to a convention where he's at so that I can purchase it and then have him autograph it.
Oh, absolutely. Shot. Yeah, there's a big thing of that, and we're going to hit on that in a little bit also. The scathing atheist, even as much as it actually is scathing for people to listen to, because they curse, because they go way over the top on a lot of jokes, sometimes well over the line.
It's I got this.
Sure,
folks,
go ahead.
If you want an understanding of the level of humor that Heath Enright and No Illusions use.
Oh, and it's good.
All you have to do is find a card game called Cards Against Humanity.
Oh. Yep.
Once you play that, you will understand their level of humor.
Yeah, they are intentionally trying to make you work with black humor. And sometimes that level of over the top, that level of irreverence is exactly what people need in order to look at it all and just realize, this is stupid. You guys are just, how could you possibly get away with making that show? Okay, look, it's funny because I get the reference because I'm old enough to remember. My God, they used the last show, they ended up using at least three references to 80s stuff that I remembered growing up. And I actually had to stop it a couple of times so that I could explain to Tiny Tribble, okay, they mentioned about this. This is why it's funny.
You let Tiny Tribble listen to the stuff that comes out of Heath's mouth? I'm surprised she's not telling you dead baby jokes.
Give her a few more months.
For you more again, weeks.
Yeah, this is something that I will end up talking about before the end of the show also, because it's an important piece of it all. Scathing Atheist, like I said, they're wonderful people, and I really, really want to have the opportunity of talking with those guys just on a one-on-one, not even on a show, just to kind of get into the to get to talk to them, to find out. That was why I wanted to have Heath on, to talk about why do a podcast like that, what got started with it, what made you guys think that you could make this thing fly. I hope that one day I'll get the opportunity of getting them on again. I know that I want to still get Lucinda to talk about, non-religious relationships and such, but,
I just want to hear her giggle again. I love her giggle. It is just, every time I hear her giggle on a podcast, I'm like, oh, she just made my day.
Lucinda, you are a cutie, just so you know. And Heath, I will steal her from out underneath you, so you better treat her nicely. Nobody's going to go ahead and make a mention to it. Fine, I will explain afterwards. We're closing on the first hour, so I'm gonna start moving this along a little bit.
Okay.
Let's see, the couple of items over here that I think we can pretty well just rubber stamp as absolutely yes. Neil deGrasse Tyson, Star Talk Radio, Dallin. Yes?
Just got started listening to it? Definite yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, started downloading it on Stitcher. Actually, the one I'm listening to right now is the one where he had one of the producers of Cosmos on. So they're John back and forth. I'm absolutely loving it so far. You want to talk about people who are extremely at ease with doing stuff like that. It's those guys. Tyson is definitely, he's good in public. Unlike me, as you can tell right now, because I'm running out of things to say. No, bottom line, Star Talk, definitely good. I'm still a little early in it before I can really say what kind of content I'm expecting. But suffice to say, it's been really entertaining so far.
Yep. All right, Tech, I'm going to pass this one over to you for a second. I don't know if you're familiar with this one. Brian Dunning and Skeptoid. Heard about this one?
Does not ring a bell.
Okay. Then I will I'll bring that one away in a second. Was there a different one that you would like to plug for yourself instead then?
Yeah, sure. I've just started listening to Dogma Debate.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And there are over 100 episodes already, and I think I've gotten through three. Nope. I got through five of them so far. I'm on Atheist versus Preacher on Gays. Well, see, what I do, folks, is I don't when there's a series going on, I don't start in the middle of the series or near the end of the series or whatever the most recent episode of the series is. I start in the very beginning because you catch people as they first start, as they first begin, like this video system. If I keep doing this with Sujin and all the other guests involved for the next year, my style of speaking may evolve a bit. My camera may swap out because I hate the quality of it, and I'm still trying to figure out why it also affects the bar at the bottom. That makes no sense, but hey, it is what it is. In fact, I was actually thinking about making a dedicated system running Raspberry Pi just for this event, something I could carry around the house. So like with Seth Andrews on The Thinking Atheist, you know, he already has a system down because he was already doing something long before that. But there were changes over the over all the episodes I listened of as he realized how many, as he started to really realize how many people he was truly reaching. Because he would joke, he's like, you're listening to tens of, you're being watched by tens of people. And then he went to a convention and he found out, well, there's a lot more than tens of people who listen to me and value me and everything else. And so, you know, he was humbled by that. And then it just started to really, really sink in how many people he's actually helping and how many people he's affecting and everything else. So it's really cool to hear somebody go through that kind of stage. And I can't say that I've ever had an effect on a lot of people, but I remember at a point in my life where I was out of college, I was in a different career, and a young man was having problems figuring out what to go to college for. And so I overheard this. I'm sitting there with just a glass of wine and a book in my hand. And I turned to him and I said, hey, what are you good at? And he was able to readily spout off what he was very good at. I said, why don't you go to college for that? Don't you know that they actually teach stuff like that? You've already got a head start on it, which would give you an advantage, which means that you'd be able to focus on other things that you'd have trouble with, and you'd be able to balance the whole thing out, and you could get a career in what you're good at. And, you know, next day, I come to find out, he went and applied. That made me feel great that I could encourage somebody to get an education to do something that they love in their life. There's been other little events like that in my life. It's never been a big thing, like I've affected a lot of people. I just recently, like I was telling the guys here on the video cast, that I have a couple new Twitter followers. And at first my head started to get big, and then I realized, wait a minute, they may not be following me because I'm on Sujin Tribble's show. They may be following me just because I recently started some other big prime time, big name atheist podcasters or broadcasters and other Twitter accounts. And then I started getting a couple messages. I received two actually complimentary and three really negative ones. And those made me laugh. They were private messages, which is why they're not on my Twitter feed. If somebody ever sends me a private – no, I see it this way. If you send me a private message via Twitter, then you are intending that message to remain private between us, and that's how I will treat it. Now, if you tweet the damn thing, that's public game.
Oh, yes.
Game on.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So. And the only reason why I'm reacting that way is because I know that I'm butchering the quote, but isn't there something that basically says we are judged by the character of those that hate us most or something like that?
I don't know about that, but I know that we are judged by not only those that hate us, but those that love us, those that like us, those that are indifferent to us. We're judged by everybody around us, whether they knowingly judge us or not, whether they're aware of us is a judgment even. Because it shows you where your effects, it's something that's measured. You're measuring where your effects are, what the effects of are having on these people, and how long term they are. So if you have severe long term effects on people around you, and they're mostly negative, you're probably not leaving a good footprint on society. Or then again, it may be that society has not yet matured enough to fully appreciate the effect that you're having, and that it will later in the history books reflect upon that you were more advanced than people around you. It could go either way.
I think I once heard it best said, sometimes it's best to be known for one's enemies.
Yes, I think that's a more accurate quote than what I was going for. Mm-hmm. All right, we're getting down into the home stretch, so if there are questions that folks want us to go ahead and tackle, right about now would be a good time. I'm going to run through a couple of quick listings and see if you guys make any kind of recognition for these. Let's see, Skeptoid had mentioned, you just mentioned Dogma Debate, good one. The three that are like huge on my list, the SGU, the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
Yeah,
one of the best damn groups. Seriously, if you wanted to hear about science and stretch yourself and try and go through and learn, truly, I don't know very many that are better than the SGU. Yeah. The novellas and great. Now the alcohol is starting to buzz in my head. And Rebecca Watson and Evan Bernstein and the novellas, because. You know, that's just them.
Yeah. I'll advise a little bit of caution on that one. I do listen to it when I can. If you are going to commit to the SGU's show, give it a few episodes for it to kick in, because it's a lot of people at once. I'm actually amazed that they don't end up talking over each other. I mean, we barely manage here sometimes. That one took me a little getting used to originally. I'm glad I stuck with it, which reminds me, ever since I changed apps from whatever I had before to Podkicker, I don't think it migrated over. So I got a little bit of catching up to do.
not bad. Yeah, it does take a little bit of getting used to, but they also run a different methodology than we do. They're all running Skype simultaneously, and they're all recording their own audio and then mixing it together afterwards. So it's a lot different. Tech, are you at all familiar with SGU?
Mm-mm.
All right.
No, so I've been listening to Atheistically Speaking and Cognitive Dissonance.
Ah, yes.
Oh, now see, now I got to... Okay. Cognitive Dissonance. And what was the other one?
Atheistically Speaking.
Sorry about all the clicking and clacking on the audio, folks. I'm just trying to jot all this stuff down because I know full well I'm going to forget, and that's going to be a really bad day right there. So we got those SGUS, Atheistically Speaking, Cognitive Dissonance, T and the B. Oh,
it's a movie?
My lord. No, O-Tech, you're going to love this one. T and the B stands for Thomas and the Bible.
Yes.
Thomas, who has been reading the Bible, who intends to finish it, reading it cover to cover.
Is that anything like what Noah's been doing?
Kind of, but it's just...
Is that T-H-O-M-A-S?
It is.
Mm. But now see, this... Go ahead.
Oh, just as we're getting lists off here, I'm looking, okay, do I have that one? No, okay, add, and here we go. So,
yeah, exactly.
My poor device is probably going to have an aneurysm by the end of the night.
Oh, yeah, just wait. Unless you are super masochistic or Catholic, I'm sorry, not or at that point, if you really, really want to read the Bible, but you really, really don't want to be bothered huffing it around, he's doing the job, and where Noah and Heath and Lucinda are reading and then summing up, Thomas is reading it line for line, and I can honestly say, as a Catholic going through all of the stuff for catechism and such, I don't know so much of this stuff. I never knew any of this stuff. It was never even on my radar. So, Thomas, if you were watching, and of course you're watching, because, I mean, why wouldn't you? Thank you. Holy crap, thank you. Seriously. Mm-hmm. And I'm not plugging the show. Seriously, holy crap. I mean, how the hell you're getting through, what is he up to at this point? Psalms?
Proverbs 6 to 11. We move on from the mind-numbing Psalms to some mind-numbing Proverbs. This is so-called wisdom is something a 10-year-old could write, as is the norm with the Bible.
Oh, it's just freaking painful. Oh, my God. Just absolutely painful. Isabel, hi. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Isabel.
Oh, my God. It's just so absolutely painful.
Do you think we could convince him that once he's done with this to get him to read the Quran?
Tech, allow me to pop in here right now. Because
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, Shuja knows where I'm going with this because we talked about it yesterday. Give me one second here. Tech, there is a podcast. I see if I did that with an Australian accent, I could do my impersonation of Ken Ham, but I can't do an Australian accent to save my life. You know, there's this book. Well, there's this podcast called Quranify Me. And it is a guy who is going cover to cover with the Quran right now.
Dallin, there's this book I'd like to... Wait. Never mind. It's
right. Find it. Google apparently doesn't like the word Quranify because it's now trying to tell me cornify me.
Yeah. No, it's, let me get you a spelling here.
It's a Q-U-A-R?
No, that's Q-U-R. The thing. It's Q-U-R-A-N-I-F-Y.
Oh, I did spell it right on my my list.
Q-U-A-R.
No. Q-U-R.
Q-U-R.
A-N.
Yep.
I-F-Y.
Okay.
Me.
Yeah. The Quranify Me, the guy is going from cover to cover, and the guys over on Scathing Atheist recently had an interview with what's the host's name again?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
What?
Episode 14, the title is Allah, the Peekaboo Master.
Yeah, and as you can probably tell from a title of an episode like that, this guy's gotten some attention.
Episode 10, I will bring you great butt sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the worst part about this whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, folks, the worst part about this is the reason why these titles that we put out on our shows are the way that they are is because so much of this stuff is just mind-numbingly boring.
Oh, my God, I want to die.
Just get a nice corkscrew, just stick it in over on this side. When it peaks out the other side, you're good to go. Yeah. That's how bad it is, seriously.
Because really, if you want to hurt that much, you want to do it to yourself. I think I just made Tech's night with that whole thing there.
Tech, you're okay?
Actually, you know, the giggling is starting to scare me a little bit.
All it takes is a payday loan to have you know spiritual salvation.
Okay.
I believe this is the point where he's finally transferred over to alert. So
yeah. Seth, if you're watching, this one's for you.
Oh, the facepalm episode?
Weapons grade facepalm.
Yeah, that's going to leave a mark. Oof.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to this, too. I really can't.
Yeah, his interview was really, really nice. Yes. All right, there's two more that I'm going to add on to this as far as I'm concerned, absolute must-haves. Mm-hmm. Out of Washington State here in the U.S., Ask an Atheist. Mm-hmm. Nice guys, and I still intend to have them on the show sometime to be able to talk with them. They're out of Washington State. They take phone calls. They talk about stuff. They don't get very many phone calls, but they are on actual broadcast radio, AM radio, but radio nonetheless. And they've been going for several years. If you look them up, Ask an Atheist. Really, really nice folks to listen to. And
can we just have Ask an Atheist Day?
Yes, I don't remember when that was, though. That's the downside.
It was just a couple weeks ago, if I think.
Could have been. Anyway, and the last one from Ask an Atheist, I'm going to go with the Atheist Experience of Austin. If you don't know who the hell the Atheist Experience of Austin is and you're watching me, freaking for shame on you. Oh, my God. Seriously.
That's with Matt Dillahunty.
That is. And as a matter of fact, I am hoping one of these days to get, not Matt, Jeff Dees. I want to get Jeff Dees on because I want to talk with him about hell. Because nothing pisses him off more, and I mean really, really pisses him off more, than people who go ahead and mention hell, because that is such a hot button, and I don't blame him. Because, I mean, striking fucking terror into kids for no other reason other than to get them to shut up at night so they go to sleep, that's just morally wrong. Totally reprehensible, and I'm totally on board with him on that.
Well, they do it with Santa Claus. If you don't go to sleep, Santa's going to skip over the house and you're not going to get any toys.
Yeah. See, there's a big difference between saying that Santa's not going to come for you versus the Krampus is going to come for you. Dal, you know what I'm talking about.
I believe so, yes.
So for those of you that don't know what the Christmas Krampus is, look it up. K-R-A-P-U-S. Go with that. I'm, there's an M in the middle of all that somewhere. Anyway. So we will have to look on this. Yes, Joseph, shame on you, because as we know full well, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me again. I don't know. It's the last present that we had, kind of talking through this stuff. But.
Yeah, actually, there's one more I can add to the list.
Sure.
Since we're kind of building here, there's one I got a hold of. It's called "Thank God I'm Atheist."
Yes.
Very, very lighthearted. Yeah, I know it's a real contradiction. What these guys typically do is they go through news headlines because there is no shortage of news headlines, as we all know.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm fighting a sneeze here. My apologies.
It's okay.
Salute.
But yes, like I said, very, very lighthearted. They keep the discourse going. It is funny as all get out. When you hear the first opening theme song, you're kind of like, what is this? Give it a chance. They're not quite at the level of outrageous commentary like the guys on Cognitive Dissonance, but they're very close. So it's actually a really, really good podcast to go with. That's... thing is, with all the ones we've talked about here, most of them are already in my list, so I was worried I wouldn't have anything else to contribute.
Well, the recent podcast is an interview with Matt Dillahunty.
Mm-hmm. They've also they've interviewed Seth Andrews as well.
Cool.
So
yep, the one right before that.
You know, and to my regret, Imagine No Religion in Kamloops, BC. I think it's already passed. I had the chance, because Kamloops isn't that far away from where I live. I would have had the chance to go up there and shake an awful lot of hands, but sadly it was a missed opportunity, including Seth's, actually. I really do want to meet that guy one of these days.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And part of the reason why I'm smiling and grinning really hard is because you might actually have heard my voice on voicemails over on Thank God I'm Atheist.
Sparkle Darkle Pony, as I recall.
Yes, that's what happened. Yes, I've completely used that, and I've decided that I might as well just use it. And as a matter of fact, I did send another voicemail to them earlier. You know what? I'll go ahead and I'll mention it in a second, because the little one was with me, and I'll come back to that in a second. They had just finished talking about the circumcision and how the Jews will... the boil will go ahead and do the little snippy thing and will then lean over and remove the blood manually, shall we say.
Okay, I don't...
Wait for it.
I didn't do that to my nephew.
Wait for it. What happened that prompted me to phone in was to complain that, guys, you just finished talking about a Moyle slurping up the blood off of the snippy clippy piece, and then one of you leans over to get a drink, and all of a sudden we hear, really, guys? After that, we have to hear you slurping on whatever it is that you're drinking.
I will like to point out that that is not a common practice. If it was, it's not anymore.
My nephew
did not go through that process, nor did I myself.
But the fact remains is that it is still in practice, and
there's no reason for it.
Yeah, my squick meter is off the charts right now with that one.
Yeah, completely understandable. Yeah. When Tiny Tribble was going to be born, we were not 100% on male or female, and mm-hmm. on the consent form in the hospital, circumcision, yes, no.
Yeah, and a lot of the hospitals really had to think about it for a while. The concept that medically performed circumcision will help prevent infection because apparently if a parent doesn't teach the child how to clean properly, they will get infected. It's like, you know, it's really not that hard to have to teach a child how to clean their penis. If you are an adult and mature and you have the best interests of your child at heart. I have taught my son how to clean himself from head to toe because his mother and I, granted, when he couldn't wash himself, we had to do it. And we were going through a custody battle, so it was 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off, 4 weeks mm-hmm. at school, blah, 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 blah. He's old enough to wash himself. When he finally got to the point of where he wanted to do it himself, I was like, okay, well, show me how you wash yourself. And then I would correct him on where he went wrong, or I would compliment him on where he went right. And when he completely ignored the downtown area, I said, why didn't you wash? And he said, well, I'm not supposed to touch it. I said, who told you that? Mommy. It's like, oh, jeez. All right, you have to pull the skin back. You have to clean in there because if you don't, it will get infected.
Yeah,
you get an infection in there, it's going to hurt worse than you have ever felt in your life. And you will go to the doctor, possibly the hospital, depending on how long it's been infected. So when you wash, do it. And he was like, but it's sensitive. And I said, imagine this. You clean it and it hurts. You don't clean it and it's going to be the minimum 10 times more pain than what you feel when you clean it. Besides, after you get used to cleaning it, it's not going to hurt when you clean it anymore unless you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, this is definitely something that my plan is to have Dr. Rachy from one of the other podcasts. Shoot, I forgot. Dr. Rachel Dunlop from I believe she's in Sydney. I want to have her on sometime to talk about the medical side of this whole debate because that's a whole other issue for later too. The whole vaccination, anti-vax, anti-health, anti-sexuality thing.
Posted on Twitter. I think it was Twitter. A picture of a pamphlet that was handed out by one person's coworker to another coworker who was pregnant and about to give birth, and was talking about how vaccinations are made from aborted fetuses.
That's a whole other thing.
And it was horrible. I zoomed in to read this thing, and I said the only way this could possibly be true is if they were talking about chicken eggs. If they were talking about chicken eggs, then fine. Yeah, you could say, you know, it was aborted because, well, the ones you buy in the grocery store, no matter how much you put them under a heat lamp, they will never grow into a chicken.
Well, you see, if that's the case, Tech, then, okay, so vaccines are made for aborted fetuses. So was my breakfast.
Yes, and I prefer it scrambled with a side of pig.
Yep.
Somehow I was hoping somebody was going to go there. By the way, the podcast that she's on occasion is The Skeptic Zone, okay. Which is also another good one, also out of Australia.
Get in the zone. Skeptic Zone.
No. And the last one, the last one that I have to add onto this one, is from the UK, specifically from Merseyside, called Skeptics with a K. Also an irreverent look at everything, but these guys are absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant in what they do. For those of us that are not British English speakers or Australian English speakers, it's sometimes a little bit tough to follow along some of the pronunciations as well as some of the idioms, but they make pains a lot of the times to go ahead and go, okay, wait, some of the international listeners might not know what we're talking about here. This is what we're talking about, and they explain it and lay it out. So also another good one, and I've got that in the list to make sure that we've got a link in there for that one.
Okay. Actually, I do have one more.
Sure.
This is actually this is a YouTube series, but he does do a podcast version of it. It's called Pat Condell's Godless Comedy. He's a British gentleman, and they're undergoing a few cultural things right now, particularly with the religion of Islam becoming more and more prevalent in there, in not only as population, but also in their political and cultural systems. To hear him go at it, it sounds like it's really bad, and maybe it is. But yeah, it's that typical British dry humor, sarcasm. Good stuff, though, if you're looking for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good groups over on YouTube also. There's so many that something tells me that we should see about doing a YouTube version of this list later, because, we haven't even gotten really to scratching what YouTube has got to offer. And there's totally shit tons.
Yeah, but also to say, he does have an audio RSS feed that I actually pick up on my podcatcher. So he does his videos, yes, but he also does an audio version of them and then puts them out in just a regular RSS format.
Cool.
Excellent. Very, very excellent. Mm-hmm. The last thing that I want to specifically hit, because we're kind of running up on the wall here. Mm-hmm. I want to very, very quickly touch on the why, because I mean, that's really the big piece of it all. Tech, I'm going to forward for you first really quickly, as much as you can boil it down. Why do you think people do these things? Why do you think that we end up doing this? And don't just say because of me.
People, first off, if you're religious, any form of religiousness or even spirituality, you already have a group. You know you have a group. You can find a group in a heartbeat. And if it may not even be the same exact group, but they'll still welcome you in with open arms because you have similarities to them. When you don't belong to a religious group, when you are atheist, you feel not only left out a little bit because you're not part of it, you're not part of that mentality, but you're also targeted by those people. You are, forget the discrimination part of it, you are attacked, okay? Forget the part where they just ignore you or talk back badly about you behind their backs. Some people that will actually be, you go to Saudi Arabia and you claim and you tell them you're an atheist, they have a law now that says that if you're an atheist, you're a terrorist, and the punishment for being a terrorist is death. Great. Yes. I don't believe in God. Somebody now feels that because I don't believe in God, they have the right to kill me because they do believe in a religion. People don't know this. Okay? There are people out there completely ignorant of this. I do this. I'm here on here talking about these things because I want people to know the things that I know, and I want them to know how I feel. If they feel the same way as me, well, then they have something that they can connect to. If they don't feel the same way as me, well, fine. They just learn how somebody else feels, whether or not they agree with it. Like, I know Ross doesn't agree with me on a lot of things. Ross has made claims to things that we've said that he or she is not very happy with. And you know what? Hey, that's life. You're going to find out that you may not agree with your next-door neighbor just because they have a dog and you have a cat. guess what? You're going to meet a lot of people you just don't like. And knowing how to deal with them, that's important. So when people say, oh, you're an atheist, you must eat the blood of babies. I was like, well, I think you have me confused with the stereotypical Jew, but considering I used to be one, I'm not surprised. We're not murderers. We're not out there to convert the whole world out of being religious. Granted, there are some anti-theists out there who believe that religion should go bye-bye, and I can't blame them one bit, both from a religious mindset and from a non-religious mindset. When you look at how much negativity has been performed in the name of religion versus not in the name of religion. So really, I'm on here just to make people know that they're not alone, that I have my own viewpoints and my own thoughts, and you can either agree with me or disagree with me. But we live in a free country here in the States, so you have that choice. In Saudi Arabia, you don't have that choice. You can live and believe in something, or say you do, or you cannot believe, and they can kill you.
That is sobering. Dallin? Not the road for you. Why do you think?
I think the people in the world have always had these opinions. Like, atheism did not start as a result of podcasting. It did not start as a result of the internet. It did not start as a result of YouTube. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem with any kind of movement that is, let me borrow a couple of words here, subversive, contrary to the status quo, introduces new ways of thinking, one of its biggest problems has always been communicating it, getting the word out there. When podcasting hit in the early 2000s, there was a mad scramble. Like, people were podcasting novels. You'll notice in my banner, I put writer/podcaster. I'm still working on that part. I do have a novel in progress that I am distributing via podcast right now. I'm not plugging it because this isn't the right forum for it. But I'm familiar with podcasting. I've been listening and subscribing for many, many years. And what I have found is that it allows people to have a voice for their views, for their opinions, and they're able to reach out to people. And I think skeptical and atheistic podcasters now realize, like just like Seth Andrews did, he realized that by just starting, by getting his own voice out there, he was going to start attracting people with similar thoughts, and communities get built. And I think why we do what we do is because we can now communicate out. We can now tell people, again, to borrow another quote from Seth, we're not crazy and we're not alone. I know I reversed that, but hey, artistic license, bite me. And I think that's what it is. We do this because we have to become that same kind of community. The organized religion has a massive network. So the skeptical and atheist community does not. This is how we build that community. One day, this is all going to hit a critical mass, I think. And we will become the established way of thinking. And we'll be able to start... it's funny how the religious right, especially in America, talks about, you know, how they want to get their country back. Well, you've got it. We're just coming after it. Because it's ours. It belongs to the rational mind. I got into a huge debate or a huge discussion with people on this a couple days ago. If things keep going the way they are now, like I said, America's at a crossroads. One generation of fundamentalists, this place will be a theocracy like the Middle East. One generation of rationalists, you can have your country back. You can become what you once were. Like, you can become the nation that put man on the moon inside of a decade. You can grab it back, but you gotta work for it. You gotta think. This stuff does not come to you spoon-fed. The computers, yes. Technology makes everything easier, but you need to build that technology to actually pull this stuff off. And you can't just sit back on your laurels and think a god's going to do it, because he's not. This world is built on the backs of humanity. I was about to say built on the backs of men, but then I thought I'd get like feminized. So, but yeah, we do what we do because we have to create the same kind of community with the same kind of cohesion as organized religion. And this right now is the best way to do it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. To kind of add on to that, the internet is the great equalizer. It is a voice for all those who otherwise are not able to, for whatever reason, get out there and scream for the masses on their own. As a matter of fact, it's actually better because people can actually listen to. They can turn it off, which in some respects is even a more powerful piece.
Yeah.
But those that do want to be listening, that do want to be paying attention, that do want to find out what is somebody else thinking, they have an opportunity to really try to understand. And that's one of the most important pieces of the entirety. The biggest facet to having humanity treat each other humanely is understanding. And I'm going to take a lot of liberty at this moment, but every once in a while I end up pulling quotes that positively feel right to me at any one time, and it doesn't matter where they're from. Ask me about it sometime. Yeah, I got a little bit of an eye roll from my youngest brother when I mentioned a Babylon 5 quote at my wife's wake, and there was actually a reason for it. We'll talk about that one another time when we go through the medical piece. But I'm remembering from Men in Black when, and again, I'm taking a lot of liberty, they thought the world was flat. You thought that you were alone. What are you going to know tomorrow? And the more we learn, the smaller and smaller and smaller this world becomes, the closer and closer each of us get to being one another. There used to be a TV show called Big Blue Marble on PBS when I was a kid growing up. It was all about learning about people from all over the rest of the world, so we felt a little bit closer to each other. We had the age of communications, where the world was a far, far smaller shrinking space. And before that, it was the advent of jet airliners, making the world smaller than what it was. Before that, the airplane. Before that, the locomotive. And in and amongst that, the internal combustion engine with the automobile. And walking, running, domesticated animals, getting from place to place to place. Each step has been making this planet and all of its communities closer knit. We have to appreciate each other. We have to understand each other, and we have to realize it's okay for me to believe the way that I do. I just can't force that on someone else. And on the same token, you can believe what you want, but I'll be damned if I'm going to let you force it on me. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's called a level playing field. Everybody should have a level playing field, and the best ideas should work. It just makes far more sense. Those of us who are the 10, perhaps 15% of the population are just trying to say, we want the level playing field again. We're not trying to take things away from people that they should have. We're telling people, get off of the high horse that you've been erecting for yourself to look down on everybody else and look at us eye to eye. Level playing field benefits everyone because we can all look equally and find out what works right. Why do I do what I do? Because I want to learn. And in so doing, I hope in my own little way, I can teach. There's one question that had one comment that had been posted that I've been specifically holding on to over here from Ross. And Ross says, and it's part of a discussion that's going on with Witchy in the comment section. Shouldn't discussions be based on accurate depictions when an argument is supposed to be based on accurate premises? Shudrin saying chickens are being sacrificed? There is no Lilith in Genesis, but you went along based on failure to know what's actually there. Now, this is stemming back from Easter, when we were discussing about Easter. And to be fair, there is something to be said for what Ross is saying. There is no Lilith in the Bible. That is correct.
Lilith is in Isaiah.
Okay. That one I was unfamiliar with. I will have to double check that. I don't believe that
it's when you track the story of Lilith, it leads to her being the first wife of Adam and having been created equally. And the reason why Eve was created out of the rib of Adam was so that she was not Adam's equal. So that way, that way God wouldn't run into the same problem with Eve that he ran in with Lilith.
Okay, then remind me afterwards, after we get close with the show, so I can go look that up myself, so I can read it specifically. Mm-hmm. I had remembered about it, but I didn't remember literally chapter and verse, so forgive me. However, this is the one piece about it, Ross, that I sincerely hope that you're listening to, because the comment about your incredulousness, your disbelief of quote unquote chickens are being sacrificed, I'll direct you first to Wikipedia, but then I will also direct you to jewishvirtuallibrary.org. The term that you're looking up is, and let's see if I can pronounce it properly, Kaphores. I believe I've pronounced that correctly. I could be completely inerrant. I could be completely wrong on that one. So please forgive me. My Yiddish is atrocious at best. It is spelled K as in kilo, A double P as in Peter, A Alpha, R Romeo, O Oscar, T Tango. From the webpage dedicated to it, the custom of Kaphores in the Jewish tradition by Richard Schwartz, Ph.D., and I quote from the very first line, "Every year before Yom Kippur, some Jews perform the ceremony of Kaphores." And again, my pronunciation's all over the place. "The following in question and answer form is a discussion from the ritual and its relation to the treatment of animals. What is it? Kaphores is a custom in which the sins of a person are symbolically transferred to a fowl, is practiced by some Jews short before Yom Kippur." Let's see. "Then a rooster for a male or a hen for females is held above the person's head and swung in a circle three times while the following is spoken, blah, 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 blah. The hope is that the fowl, which is then donated to the poor for food, will take on any misfortune that might otherwise occur to the one who has taken part in the ritual in punishment for his or her sins." It is from selections from Isaiah 11:9, Psalms 107:10, 14, and 17:21, and Job 33:23-24. Which are recited. It is there for you to investigate. If you have further information that discredits that, or you have other questions about it, something that you would like to discuss, Witchy has already gone ahead and said, contact me. I will leave the door open as well on my side. ShujinTribble@gmail.com.
And if I may add to that real quick.
Very quickly.
As far as, because it wasn't said in that statement, but it was made by the same person, and it was in reference to similar issues, which was God having a wife. If you, the Book of Kings suggests that God had a wife named Asherah. Her name was spelled A-S-H-E-R-A-A. And the Book of Kings suggests that she was worshipped alongside Yahweh, not as a secondary, but next to Yahweh. So that would also suggest as an equal. In the temple in Israel, these are scholars finding this information in the Bibles, in the various Bibles, and putting two and two together. And don't forget, Roz, that not all Bibles are the same. Many Bibles, especially many current versions, omit a lot of things that they don't have. Was I wrong in saying Lilith was referenced in Genesis? Yes. It is late at night for me. It is way past my bedtime every episode that we do this. And so the story took place in the time of Genesis, but it was not referenced in Genesis. It was actually later referenced in the book of Isaiah. So was I wrong in referencing which book it was actually referenced in? Yes. Was I wrong about Lilith being in the Bible? No. All depends on what kind of nitpicking you want to do. Do you want to nitpick like some kind of college scholar, somebody who wants to be, you know, attack their professor? Or you could have presented it as, hey, listen, you brought up Lilith. She's not actually in Genesis. She's actually in Isaiah. And here's the information I found. And then we could go back and together look at it as, okay, so I was wrong in which one I stated. I retract that statement. Let me correct it. The way you presented it, and I'm not saying you did it intentionally, okay, because there's no emotion when you type words that I can pick up on, but the average person would pick up on the way that the words that you used and the sequence you used them as an attack. So I don't know if it was or wasn't. I'm just giving you a warning that it could be misconstrued that way, and I am not going to take it as an attack. I am going to assume that you were trying to correct me to point out that I did indeed make a mistake, and I don't mind that at all. I'm glad that you pointed out that I did reference the wrong book for Lilith. I'm just glad I got the time period right.
Excellent. Okay. So, again, the door is going to be open, of course, and we will be more than happy to investigate and try to look over stuff. At the moment, I do not have any idea as far as to what next week's show is going to be as far as a topic or theme. I'm going to make sure that the link is available to the Google Doc so you guys can take a look over at some of the suggestions that have been made. If you have a suggestion, by all means, send it over to me at shujintribble@gmail.com. Please put in the subject line, holy crap, so that I don't accidentally lose it somewhere along the way. Next show is scheduled to be May 4th, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys then. Many, many thank yous to Professor, Dr. Mr. Jake Forwarton, Esquire III, for joining us this evening and for not bringing the Ex-Mennonites and the, well, you know, I thank you.
Yeah, come on, say it.
I know. So I don't know how many weeks in a row that is, but that's okay. That still needs to become a thing. Many thank yous to all of the podcasters that we've mentioned this evening, and all of the links for all of them will be in the description. They are all worthy groups. There are certainly more out there than what we've got time enough to go ahead and handle, and we handle quite a number of them. If you lose sleep because you are downloading all of these and trying to catch up, there's a lot. There's really, really a lot. Don't feel like you have to go in and run them all simultaneously and catch up on everything. Take your time. If you're trying to find out what the perspective is for all of these groups, it's going to take a long time. Give it the time. And remember, all of these shows that you've been listening to, one way or another, including ours, are always a work in progress. There's always going to be changes. There's always going to be improvements. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's just a matter of trying to hammer things out the way that they're supposed to be. We try. I try. And hopefully, like I said, when all is said and done, we'll all have some new perspectives. As always, on behalf of all of the crew, thank you all for being with us. Dallin, thank you for tonight.
Thanks for having me. Unfortunately, I will be out of town for the next 2 weeks, so I will be unable to attend. My apologies on that. Well, actually, no, May 4th, I know for a fact I won't be here. May 11th, I should be back. So.
Okay, we'll see how that plays out then.
Yeah.
Safe travels. Unrenowned Tech, we'll get the pickup for you. There you are. Thank you very much for your time again tonight.
Not a problem at all, guys. I'll see you next week unless... well, unless a house falls on me for blaspheming again, you know.
Now, when you say again, are you talking about the house has already fallen on you once or the fact that you're just blaspheming all the time?
Well, considering that I'm still here, we'll have to go with the premise that I was actually blaspheming before. But since you didn't, you know, since you, Dallin, weren't actually there for episode 10 and you probably haven't watched episode 10, how can you be sure I was blaspheming?
That's it's just a point, actually. I'm just trying to use...
No, that's an interesting point. I may have to go back and try to vet this now.
I'm just being a dick. Fair
enough. That was the easiest solution, but I mean, hey, I work in IT, so you know, we start with the simple, then we move to the more complex.
Absolutely.
Oh, I want to point out one thing.
Very quick.
In reference to the Thinking Atheist, for those of you out there who have who are unsure what to do during the holidays around religious family members and you yourself are not religious, seriously, just go back to the Thinking Atheist and reference his Christmas episode. He tells you what he does. It's really good advice. He admits that it's not for everybody, but it's a good stepping ground.
Absolutely. All right. Now, let's get us on out of here because we've taken far longer than we normally should have, and my apologies. Thank you. Those of you that have made it out to the very end of the show, grandly appreciated. We'll be looking forward to seeing you again next week for the show. As always, on behalf of the crew here, I want to thank you very much for your time, for your patience, and for your input. We look forward to talking with all of you again next week. As always, for my lady, whom I love and adore, Matene Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. To all of you, as always, thank you. I wish you all the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the very next time we get together, everyone. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.